May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Do not be afraid. I am your shield. This is what God said to Abraham. Abraham had just come back victoriously after a tremendous military fight against a very large army. So I wonder, why did God say, "Do not be afraid, I am your shield"? What was Abraham afraid of? Today's knowledge about post-traumatic stress disorder might explain the state Abraham was in. Perhaps he was reliving the scenes of the war. Or maybe he worried whether one of the defeated kings might come back for revenge. What if they ambushed him? What if they attacked him during a time when he is not expecting it, when he doesn't have his shield with him? Abraham was getting probably quite anxious when all of a sudden the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. And he said, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." Or in other words, "You don't have to worry about anything, Abraham, because I am for you. Don't be anxious, because I am your defense. You don't need your shield. You have the best protection in the world. And if that were not enough, I'm also going to reward you. And my reward for you shall be very great." Then Abraham paused for a moment and he thought. And then he replied, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless." But God told him, "No one but your very own child will be your heir." And he took him outside, showed him the stars, and said, "Countless like the stars, so shall your descendants be, Abraham." What a wild promise to make to an 85-year-old man who is not married to a 25-year-old woman, but who is married to a 75-year-old woman. Yet Abraham believed the Lord. As far-fetched as it might have appeared at that moment, Abraham just believed, and the Lord accounted his faith as righteousness. Even today, we find that having faith in God and in the wild promises he makes is essential for the survival of a follower of Christ. First and foremost, it is essential because God wants all his children to be righteous. And the Bible tells us very clearly that righteousness comes only from believing the promise of God about Jesus Christ. Or in other words, from having faith that Jesus didn't die just for everyone, but especially for me. That he died for my sins and took my iniquities on his own life. That he died in my place in order to make me eligible for eternal life. But honestly speaking, all this sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? How is it possible that I just need to have faith in order to be saved? This is not what we learn from the world. The world teaches us that I have to earn what I get. I have to earn it, and I can earn it. So we might even think that there must be a catch to all this. But you see, what we tend to forget is that God is in the business of giving out wild promises and of keeping them in ways that are most of the times so hard for us to perceive. Yet these are the moments when we need to be on our guard. Let's take Abraham for instance. First, he believed that God would keep his promise, and he was very happy about it. And then he waited. Years passed, and he still waited, but he still remained childless, and that really didn't add up to him. How long was he going to wait? And so at once, the couple, Abraham and Sarah, they both were convinced that probably they would have to help out God to keep his promise. And so Abraham went ahead and had a child with Sarah's slave. But that was not God's plan. Yet God looked past Abraham's flawed works, and 15 years later, after the initial promise, Abraham truly had a child with Sarah. And there was not a shred of doubt that this time around, it was the Lord who had kept this wild promise by doing what is humanly impossible. What Abraham's example shows us more than anything is that having faith is not a one-time event. Life throws many things at us, and the only way of overcoming those hurdles is by constantly upholding our relationship with the Lord and by constantly reminding ourselves of who he is and that he truly has our best interest in his mind. It is in Mark's gospel that we read about a father who once came to Jesus' disciples. His son had been very ill for a long time, and they had tried treatment after treatment, desperate to find a cure. Sadly, Jesus' disciples couldn't help him. Even though they tried hard, they could not cure the boy. Instead, they even got into an argument with the father. Now we can just imagine how frustrated the boy's father must have felt at that moment. He must have felt that he is alone, that he is the only one who is really bothered about the well-being of his son, and that God has totally forsaken him. But that is just then when Jesus arrives at the scene, and he asks the boy's father, "How long has your son been like this?" And the father says, "From childhood. This illness has often thrown my son into fire or water, and he has almost been killed so many times." And then he adds, "If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus answered, "If you can do anything, everything is possible for one who believes." And immediately, the boy's father realized that he really wanted to believe, but that the years of desperation had left him feeling unable to have faith. And so he exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." Jesus indeed did help the father and also the son. But it is interesting to me that this is often the way we behave. We desperately look for a cure, for a solution to our problems. We try to tackle it ourselves. Then we go to different people, talk about it. We perhaps bring it to different people within the church community, to Jesus' disciples. But we forget to come to the Lord. And when we finally come to him and get a chance to speak to him in prayer, we say, "If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." Often, having faith has a lot to do with making a conscious decision. A decision not to give in to our fear or anxiety, but to fix our eyes on the Lord, to cling on to him, especially when we feel that we are running out of faith. We should never forget that fear and faith are mutually exclusive. For every problem, we actually have three options to react. And I like to illustrate it in a way. Now, we can choose to be anxious, but anxiety is like quicksand. And the more you move in anxiety, the more you run the risk of getting suffocated. Or you can choose to swim in the turbulent waters of fear, but eventually you will lose all your strength and you will drown. The third option is that we stand on a rock because we honestly look to Jesus in faith. The reality is that especially when life hits us hard, we cannot give up. So as we come to a close today, I would like to invite you to ponder for a moment whether there are any areas in your life where you need faith in the Lord. Where do you let human aspects deter your faith? And where do you stagger at the promises of God? Why don't you take those things to God in faith today, believing that He is trustworthy and infinitely able? We can have victory in our heart today because we know that He is going to meet all our needs. So maybe just believe Him when He says, "Do not be afraid. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." Amen.